How's everyone doing? Okay, that sounds like you're okay. How's everyone doing? Let's turn up a notch. Like for those out there, like let them know how good we are in the house of God. How are we doing today?
Yeah, all right.
For those of you who don't know who I am, I am Pastor Kareem. I have the awesome privilege of being I'm the assistant pastor to a church called Limitless Church. The reason why I say I'm an assistant pastor is our lead pastor, his name is Jesus Christ, and I just get the privilege to assist him in our local fellowship. It's a brand new church. We're about to be 3 years old, and God's been doing some amazing things there, so we praise God for that. I also just want to take some time just to, again, I was here a couple of weeks ago, for those of you who weren't here a couple of weeks ago, but then I said, at that time, I wanted to thank Pastor Peter and Pastor Carrie Ann for giving me the privilege to be able to be with you guys this morning. I don't take this lightly, the privilege to be able to deliver God's word, and so just want to honor them. Can we honor our pastors? But how many of you guys are ready for a proclamation of God's word? Okay. How many of you guys have smartphones? Everybody has smartphones? I think everybody has smartphones. If you, with your smartphone, you know that moment where you get that, like, that notification that comes in? Anybody's had that? The notification that comes in? That ding sound? And especially when that ding sound and you look down at your phone and it's somebody that you were just dying to hear from. You know the feeling that I'm talking about? Where you get that notification, you look down, and it's somebody that you're dying to hear from. Or maybe it's an email. You look down at your phone, and you get an email. It's like, oh my goodness, I've been waiting for this email for weeks or for days, and it comes in, and that feeling that it gives you. Or maybe it's that moment. You know, for those of you who are younger and you're on Instagram or whatever, and you might have sent a message or you responded to a comment to one of your, like, people that you look up to, and they respond to your comment, that feeling that you get. For me, I remember that feeling that I got when I've been married for 18 years now, been together with my wife for 23 years. And I remember, and this might date me, but I remember going home and looking down at my Vista 350 phone. Anybody remember the Bell Vista 350 phone? A few of you guys? The landlines, when we had landlines, guys? It had the Vista 350 phone that had, like, where you could actually see who was calling you. You could see your missed calls. And I remember the time I got a missed call from my now wife. And again, the feeling that gave me. What if we really understood the feeling of, like, when God slid into your inbox? How do you respond to that? How should we respond to that? When a world where we're bombarded with invites to parties, to group chats, trends, and what if we're missing the implications of the most important invite that we've ever received? Today we're going to dive into John chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. And here Jesus drops the most life-altering invite ever. And we're going to look at how this should still hit differently for us now today. So again, we're going to be in John chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. And here's what I want us to do in honor of reading God's word. Can we actually stand in reading God's word? The reason why I like standing and reading God's word, I'm reminded of a time I used to be a youth pastor, and when I was a youth pastor, I had an old youth that left the youth group, went into the army, and I went and visited him on his army base, and I remember we were sitting down, and when we were sitting down, an individual walked by, and at that moment, his name was Shane. Shane stood up in attention because this individual that was walking by him is somebody that you need to stand in attention for. And so we're going to be reading God's word, and understand when we read God's word, It's literally like God's speaking to us in this very moment. And so because of that, this is why I like to stand in attention to hear from him. And so we're going to read this, and we're going to read all the verses right now. And before we even unpack it, I want you to actually stand in attention to hear what God has to say, because his word is alive. Amen? Amen. So John chapter 1, starting at verse 35. The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour. One of the two that heard John speak, follow Jesus, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John, but you shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that even how many years later, it still has power. It still is alive. So, Lord God, as we further unpack your word, may every single person that is in this place and those watching online, may we truly open up our hearts to hear what it is that you have for us. So, Lord, have your way, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The title for our message this morning is this: When Jesus Sends the First Invite. When Jesus sends the first invite. We're going to discuss how it should change everything. And hopefully you'll be able to ask yourself if you've been allowing it to change everything in your life. When I say everything, I'm not saying most things. I'm saying everything. The invite to follow Jesus should change everything. Bottom line, if you don't remember anything else from this morning, is this: an invite from the infinite ignites identity, intimacy, and impact. Going to the passage of Scripture, the context that we have, we start at verse 35, getting context just before that. What's been taking place is John the Baptizer has been baptizing people in the Jordan River, preparing the way for the Christ. And as he's been doing this, he's begun to become a big deal. Everybody's coming to see John the Baptist. Everybody's hearing about the way that John the Baptist is drawing people closer to God. While this takes place, it's interesting. He also gets, you know, notoriety from the priests and the Levites of Jerusalem. And they begin to start questioning him. And so there's like a lot of things happening during this time. And while this is happening, one day, Jesus comes and he asks John to baptize him, which leads to where we are today. So John is baptizing, and as he's baptizing on this day, watch what happens on verse 35. It says, "The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus, and as he walked by, he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God.'" This individual that is right here in front of us, the same individual that is in this room right now, "Behold, the Lamb of God is present." This is a big deal. It's not something to take lightly. It wasn't just religious lingo. It was literally prophecy fulfilled. Isaiah 53 in particular, talking about the atoning sacrifice being revealed. And while this is taking place, we have two of John the Baptist's disciples, two of the people that are following this guy who was a big deal. And watch the response of the disciples as he makes this statement. Verse 37. The two disciples heard him say this. And watch what they did. Very interesting. They were with John the Baptist, who was a big deal. And watch the pivot that takes place. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. They left John the Baptist. They were actually living a life that all the others there would be like, yo, this is pretty cool. You're with John the Baptist. This guy is doing all these amazing things. But then they hear that Jesus is here. And it changes everything. They leave John the Baptist and they follow Jesus. You know, so many of us, we understand this idea that Jesus is a big deal. But there's still certain things in our lives, even these things that, you know, to us they may look like they're great things. But there's nothing in our lives that is greater than being with Jesus. There's nothing that is going on. Even, hear this, our families, amazing job. Maybe even, you know, that education that you're going through that you've been preparing for. But if Jesus comes and he says, no, you need to switch that all up and follow him. You know what a lot of us like to do? Is like we start to like reason and should I really put Jesus first? That's not what happens with these two individuals. So they follow Jesus, and Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, watch this, what are you seeking? And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Meaning, I want to be where you are. I'll leave even being with John the Baptist, who is a big deal, and I'm going to leave this to be where you are. So he says to them, come and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, which leads to point number one for this morning. When God calls you, you can't stay casual. It should change everything. Again, they leave John, who again was a big deal. And so in that, there's a passage of scripture that says, as we draw closer unto God, God then draws closer to us. And so in that moment, Jesus, as they're drawing closer to them, he draws right back. He says, what are you seeking? Some of us miss out on God moving in our lives because we're not willing to actually seek him. We limit this idea of pursuing Christ. I'm not trying to step on any toes here, but some of us, we only pursue Christ in these moments. We only follow God in these moments. We compartmentalize this idea of following God. This idea, I'm going to follow God for a couple of hours on a Sunday, and then I leave these four walls, and I'm going to go right back in the world to be a good person. God is not calling us just to be good people, guys. When we make that decision to follow Jesus, our life is not our own anymore. We're now living for him. So everything that we do, not just these moments, everything that we do, it's for him. It's about him. It's not about us. It needs to change everything. So Jesus invites them. They come and they stay with him. And here's the thing that we got to understand as well with this. They didn't just stumble into Jesus. They were drawn. Just come and see. This come and see wasn't a casual coffee. It was a covenantal calling. If you've been given the opportunity to even understand more about Jesus, understand that that is something where God is calling to you. Are you answering? This wasn't just hype. Man, this was like a holy interaction with God. But here's the problem. With North American culture, we're obsessed with convenience. But Jesus doesn't just want your Sunday. He wants your soul. I'm going to say that again. Jesus, it's not just the Sunday that he wants. He wants your soul. The thing is, we often like, when it gets really real, we want to ghost Jesus. And then when it gets really, really real, then we want to, what's crazy about it, then we complain. When we decided to make our own choices and go down our own path, and then we end up in a place where God never wanted us to be, but again, because we made it about how we want to move about our lives and didn't truly trust Jesus and give him our soul, we put ourselves in those situations. But again, when God says, come through, you can't just, like, you know, in social media, you can't keep them on read. For those a little older, don't understand what I mean by that. Notifications, you can see when somebody read and if they don't respond back to you. You can't just keep them on read. You got to respond. A lot of us hear him calling, hear him talking to us, right? We see the message. We've heard the message. And then we just leave it there and go about our lives. Because that's convenient, right? The two disciples dropped even what was great. Again, in being with John the Baptist, and we're like, where are you staying? I want to be where you are. Because they recognize this, an invite from the infinite. It ignites true identity, true intimacy, and the opportunity to have true impact. They understood this. What about you? Do you really get that? Understand this, this idea of what we call church, this isn't meant to just be a holy social club that we decide when it's convenient. What's even crazy with that, like we say it's not just a Sunday, and well, you know, studies show in North America that the consistent followers of Jesus, consistent, will attend service 2.2 times a month. Again, because that's what's convenient for our schedules. Again, I'm not trying to put anybody down. I'm just trying to help us understand the magnitude. When we give our lives, we're supposed to give our lives to Christ. For some of us, we don't want to hear that. I'm just being faithful. It's got to change everything. Look how it changed everything for Andrew, one of John's disciples in particular. And then watch the ripple effect it had. Going back to the passage, verse 40. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Which leads to point number two. When you find or you get into that being exposed to Jesus, we can't keep this silent. We need to tell our people, those closest to us, because an invite from Jesus should lead to a share. Andrew finds Simon, his brother, and says, "We have found the Messiah," and then brings him to Jesus. This wasn't forced. John the Baptist didn't have to go to his disciples and say, you need to go and tell all your friends and family. It wasn't his father or his mother saying, you need to. Now that you've encountered Jesus, you need to tell all. No, they truly encountered Jesus for themselves. And in that, Andrew recognized this is not something to keep for himself. And he tells his brother, this wasn't forced. Grace got him fired up. Love made him share the truth of the fact of what this took place in his life. Regeneration should precede proclamation. Andrew didn't evangelize to earn grace. He didn't do it to say, check mark. Look what I'm doing. He evangelized because grace owned him. He understood the Messiah is here, meaning that his sins were going to be forever forgotten. It's the fruit of being found. He truly realized who he encountered. Some of us, I wonder, do we understand who we've encountered? I've often questioned if members of the church truly understand who we've encountered, this privilege that we have. This is not just anybody. This is the Savior of the universe. And because of Jesus, now we can be in right relationship with him. There is no separation. Because of him, we can be made fully alive. Do we truly understand what we have? Some of us will get more excited to see, I don't know, the President of the United States or the Prime Minister walk through those doors than knowing that Jesus is here right now. It's crazy. The Prime Minister will walk in and what will start happening? What happened here? Naturally, you see that? It's the Prime Minister. Did you see who just walked through the door? It's the Prime Minister. We're all going to stand to attention to the Prime Minister. And that's just the Prime Minister. Talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How do we miss this? Real influence starts when the gospel goes viral in your heart. You repost what you believe in by the way that you live your life. Start asking, who needs to know this? Who needs to hear that I know Jesus? Who needs to know about this person that you've encountered? That's what happened with Andrew when he goes to his brother, Simon. Really, what we're talking about is, who are you tagging spiritually? Because again, an invite from the infinite should ignite your identity, truly ignite intimacy and impact. We're talking about impact. Watch what happens when Andrew lets what he has been exposed to and tells his brother Simon. Verse 42 says he brought him to Jesus. So Andrew goes to Simon, brings him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, the son of John, but watch this. You now shall be called Cephas, which means Peter. Point number three, if you really get this, new name, new game. What it's called changes everything. Jesus looks at Simon and says, you shall be called Cephas, which means Peter. He doesn't just see Simon for how maybe all those around him, he sees and speaks into his future. Peter hadn't preached yet. He hadn't healed yet. He hadn't walked on water yet. But God already had plans for him. You're not called because you've been capable or because you're capable. You're capable, watch this, because you're called. When you receive this idea that everything changes, I've been adopted into the spiritual heavenly family, and that changes everything. I'm not driven by what happened to me in the past, what people know of me, even in the present. I know I'm talking about how God sees me in my future. And a lot of the things that we're going to be able to do if we truly understand this, it's a whole new ball game. Then when we really allow God to move in our lives, really take on our new identity in Christ and really have intimacy with Christ, it changes the game. His name wasn't even Peter yet at that moment. It was Simon. But Jesus knew him for who he was going to be. Some of you are blocking God's plans on your life because you still live in your past or even in your present. We need to look to what God has for you in your future. Culture will say you are what you achieve. But watch this. Jesus says you are what I declare. Your potential isn't found in your feed or your resume. It is rooted in his foreknowledge. Your past isn't your prophecy. Jesus' promise is your path. And again, if you really get this, an invite, and we allow that invite to truly do what it is that it's supposed to do and wants to do, an invite from the infinite, Jesus, Lord, Jesus our Lord and Savior, ignites your true identity, who you've been created to be. You're not to be what the world has known you to be. They knew him as Simon. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Peter. For some of you, the world may look at you and say, somebody who doesn't know how to talk to individuals. And God says, I look at you, you're going to be one that's going to be able to stand on platforms like this and proclaim the name of Jesus and this move in power. It's what he says you are. Not what the world says you are. As we get the understanding of our identity, our new identity, and then move into intimacy, it creates impact. So imagine if every person in this room actually responded to Jesus' invite. Not with a maybe, not with like later, but with like a absolutely, I'm all in. What if we stopped playing casual Christianity and lived like we were truly called? If we embraced this new identity that he gives, if we actually took on that understanding of staying where he is and wanting to go where he is and where he wants to take us, if we then invited others into that same joy, if we truly walked the understanding of this new name, this new identity that we have, understand this, and I'm not saying this because it's like the Christian thing to say, but I truly believe that we could see revival here at Word and Full Gospel. You know what's interesting, and I just sense it in my spirit, it's crazy to me, that as I said that, some of you are like, oh yeah, that's cute, Pastor. Yeah, I don't know about revival. It's maybe God may do some cool things, but revival, I don't know about that. Started questioning. Some of you guys are like, amen. Some of you are like, I don't know about all that. You know how I know it's possible in a practical way? 2,000 plus years ago, you know, there was 12 dudes. 12 dudes who truly got this. 12 dudes took that message, message that we now know has been spread all across this world where billions upon billions have come to understand. Look around in this room. We have more than 12 people in this room right now, friends. And imagine now if we all get it, what that sparks. But understand this, in order for that to take place, revival isn't a service. It's a lifestyle. That if we all get this understanding of what it means to live for Jesus beyond the four walls, that's where revival takes place. Where we begin to understand, how can we take what's happening here and bring it to everywhere that we are? We're saying we're not going to keep this casual. Some of y'all are holding invites in your spirit that you haven't responded to yet. You've left Jesus on red. But this morning, the Holy Ghost is sliding into your soul and saying, come and see. Come and surrender. Come and be sent. That being said, if you're ready to walk into your new name, your next, your new future that God has for us, let's all respond to this. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. I've been there before. He says, oh, it's not, this is not for me, it's for them. No, it's for all of us. We all have the opportunity to be a part of that. So here's what I want us to do. And I'm going to give some practical just instructions for us. No music. I want us to close our eyes and search, like to search our hearts. Can we just close our eyes? I want us to do like a spiritual like heart surgery right now on our hearts. Really begin to like look inwardly. Where are you? As it relates to this idea of like being all about giving your life to Jesus. In this moment, I believe God's going to reveal some things where you've been putting that ahead of him. Things that are convenient for you. Even good things. You've been putting work before him, putting your friends before him, family before him, your own aspirations. He's bringing these to the surface, and I want you to look at them, really see them. I want you to, like, in your own way, kind of push these aside, because here's what's happening. Beyond all of that, there's Jesus on the other side. He has never left you. He's there. But all these things that you're bringing, you don't even realize it is blocking you from you being able to see all that Jesus has for you. Visually push these things aside and see whatever way that would look like. See our Creator. And as you see him, recognize he's inviting you right now. He's inviting you to put him first. He's inviting you to have true intimacy with him, which will ultimately lead to real impact, eternal impact. I want us to rest here for a second. This is where we need to be. This is where we need to stay. This isn't just for like those who are super spiritual, quote unquote. It's for all those who know Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. Let him be the Savior of your life. So Lord God, we thank you for your grace. We don't deserve you to invite us to be a part of bringing your kingdom here on earth. We don't deserve to be able to be used by you to create great impact. But Simon didn't either. The same grace that you've shown Simon is the same grace that you want to show us. But sometimes we get in the way of that. I come against the plans and schemes of the enemy that even in this moment right now, as things were being brought, like there's like this hold. We're like, yeah, I hear you, but no, that's a little too extreme. Here's the thing, it may be extreme, but it's the best life to live. So we go against the plans and schemes of enemy that would block us from experiencing the greatest life of all, life found in you. God, as people see us, we want them to see you. So Lord, of every single person that is here, those watching online, may we truly get that nothing else matters, God. Nothing else, that we would be apologetic for the times when we made about other things. We made it about what we could receive and what we could do. God, I pray in this moment that we would go back to where it all started in you and be content in you. And live for you, because nothing else matters, Jesus. Nothing else, Lord. So again, oh, every single person here and online, may we allow this truth to truly transform our hearts, truly ignite a life where we understand whose we are, sons and daughters of the living God. That is the biggest deal of all. There's nothing bigger that allow that truth to truly transform our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to just lift up that last song that we sung to close our musical worship time. But just as a practical thing, just to give to you guys, to be the light in the darkness, I want to give you guys homework, guys. I want you to bless three people, and here's what I mean by bless. It's an acronym. Yes, we want to bless them, but particularly, I want you to pick three people, just three people that you know, that don't have not experienced Jesus, who have not encountered Jesus the same way Andrew knew his brother Simon did not meet with Jesus. You want them to meet Jesus. Maybe they're not in a place where you feel like they would ever want Jesus. Forget about what society has said about them. Society said Simon was Simon when Jesus said he was Peter. Sometimes we block somebody being able to experience who it is that God wants them to be. Forget about how you see them. So in that, begin with prayer, believing that how it is that God sees them would be revealed to them, that they would open up their hearts to him. Take some time just to spend with them and listen to them. Eat with them. Go into their space, their world, obviously not conforming. Listen, eat, and serve them. And then when the opportunity presents itself, share your story and ultimately, hopefully, as they hear that you've met with Jesus, they're going to want to come and see him too. This is what it's all got to be. It's all about building his kingdom here on earth, nothing else. Being in his presence, nothing else. Living for him, nothing else. All those other things, if God adds all the other things, amazing. But that's not what life is all about. Amen? Can we just lift up that song, Jacob? Jacob.